The Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the FFS QC Podcast Network. A beautiful day, because today was Selection Sunday, and we have finally been given a bracket. We're going to break all that down. This is the most wonderful time of the year. We had a fantastic championship week from Thursday, electric games from Friday, electric games Saturday as well, and then Sunday we had some good ones. Obviously, that Big Ten championship game was really good that Iowa won. And then Selection Sunday, we're going to break down here in this podcast the bracket. First of two podcasts with this. This is the initial podcast reaction to the bracket being released. We're going to talk about, like, most likely upsets, you know, talk about the bubble a lot, but we're going to record tomorrow the big one. We're going to record the full bracket breakdown from top to bottom, every single team. We're going to give, you know, reasons to pick them, some predictions, definitely give a Final Four, you know, all of those fun things on all 68 teams that made the field. That's going to be recorded tomorrow and released on Tuesday. This is being recorded here tonight on Sunday, and it'll be released Monday morning. So we'll give that reaction, or this is kind of just the initial reaction to the pod, or to the bracket, excuse me. So, yeah, it should be some fun stuff. Going to talk about some seedings, some questionable seeding choices, the bubble. So we'll see who and what teams I think should or should not have made the field. There are definitely some that I am questioning and ones that I am absolutely baffled by. So that'll be fun. And then we'll go through the some of the lower seeded games and mention what teams have the best opportunity to you know, advance early. And then the pod we release on Tuesday will be the full team by team breakdown. So let's have some fun. What a week this is. Selection Sunday, March Madness is here. The NCAA tournament is upon us. We have a bracket. Let's talk about it. Let's get it on.
It looks like you lost another one.
All right, a little solo dolo action here on this Monday edition of the Educated Ignorance Podcast. Quick little, maybe 20-ish minute reaction to the brackets that were released. We're just going to chat about, you know, some thoughts on everything that transpired over the weekend and whatnot. So, brackets were released today, a couple different reactions. You know, I think when this time of year, there's a lot of different things to get caught up on. I feel like there are different things that certain people get, you know, hung up on and want to talk about. Obviously, first, you're going to look at your team and where they're seated. Then next year, everyone's going to look at the bubble. My biggest thing is how teams get over and under seated by the committee. And that's where I want to start, because I think that might be a little more egregious than just the bubble talk for this season. And I want to start with a couple. So we're just going to scroll down. I got a bracket in front of me. We're not going to be making any predictions. I'm going to obviously give, you know, things that I like, teams I like, things like that. But we're not going to be making any official predictions. First off, I want to mention some seeding. The first one that stuck out to me was North Carolina. I really am not sure what made them an 8 seed over just, I'm glad they weren't seeded over a team like Murray State or a team like who else would have been on that 8-9 line? I'm shocked they got seeded over Creighton, maybe a little bit on the same, like them on the same line as Boise State. Davidson losing Sunday definitely dropped them from the 8-9 game to a 10, so I understand that. But North Carolina, I thought that they were before the Duke game, I didn't have them in the tournament, and then they beat Duke, and I thought they were just on, you know, just in. And then they won their first tournament game against Virginia, and then lost to Virginia Tech. I thought that they would be somewhere in the 10-11 range to then to, you know, maybe the first four out, but I doubt, or the first four, I should say, not first four out, but the last four in. I doubted that was going to happen. But them as an 8 seed is pretty egregious. They did not have the resume of an 8 seed. I think it is a pretty, it's a miracle that they got that. Now, how would they match up against Marquette? I don't know. It's a hell of a break for them, because I think if they were the 8 seed that drew like Memphis, that would have been a nightmare for them, because Jalen Duren could have navigated all of their, you know, all of their strengths, and their guards aren't that good against a team like Marquette. Marquette's not really going to have the guys inside to give them issues. So I thought they got one heck of a draw in an 8-9 game. But I do think their longest there, I think best case scenario for them is they win a game and then they get clipped by Baylor probably in round two. Another team, seeding wise, that I thought was a little bit, you know, lower or higher for my liking, I think Tennessee should have definitely been on the two line. I think when you think of what they've done in the last 2 months, or I guess the last month, I don't think there's a team that's played better in the last 30 days outside of maybe Arizona than them. They've won 11 of 12. They've been rolling, winning the SEC in the way they did. And all of their games were pretty convincing. Think of the game Saturday against Kentucky. They dominated. Second straight time they played Kentucky and they rolled. I think this weekend did something to help answer the questions of, can this team win away from home? I know they have, you know, neutral court other than on the road, and a lot of all their big wins this season came at home. They knocked off Arkansas at home. They knocked off Auburn at home. They knocked off Alabama at home. They knocked off Kentucky at home. And all their big losses were on the road. You think they lost at Kentucky? They got drilled at Kentucky. And at Auburn, at Arkansas. So some of their bigger games on the road, they weren't able to win. But what they were able to do in this tournament, it kind of helped me think, you know, they're not just a team that can succeed at home. They are a team that can win a neutral site game in their style of play. Now, look, it's going to be hard for me to say that they can make a Final Four run, but they are going to be able to stylistically match up with everybody because of how they guard. And they have good enough guys offensively that's going to be an issue. I think they should have been on the two line. I think they should definitely be ahead of Duke. Duke clearly the last two seed, especially when you just think of them getting put in that number one spot with Dave, with Gonzaga. I think Duke definitely should not have been a two seed. Villanova, I understand that they got put at the two seed. They were playing really well down the stretch, and they picked up two wins over Providence in the month of in late January through February, and winning the Big East the way they did. I understand why Villanova was a two seed. Obviously, you were going to have Auburn and Kentucky on the two seed. So I think three SEC teams should have been on the two line. If you want to say keep Duke and move Kentucky to the three line, I guess I can see it. I guess. I don't see it much, but I can understand if that's your case. I think Murray State was seeded really well, a seven seed. If they were in a power conference and played a few more power conference or more power conference games, they could have easily been on the 5 or 6 line. I mean, they finished, I think, 28, 29, and 2. They were ridiculous this year. UCLA, a 4 is probably right. That's just mainly due to the Pac-12 being kind of down. I think you could easily have them ahead of a team like a Wisconsin, maybe, or even a Texas Tech. I think they're still really good. Other teams that I think maybe were seeded too low. Michigan was too high, I should say. We'll start with that. Michigan too high. I think Indiana being the third to last team in or whatever it was, I think is not the best look from the committee. I just want to know if Andre Curbelo makes that layup off the missed free throw in the final 5 seconds and Illinois wins, is Indiana not in? Because that's the narrative that I got. Michigan not even having to play in the first four is baffling to me. And I think they got one pretty... Now, listen, Colorado State's a very good team, and it's not an easy draw, but it's a favorable matchup. The problem for Michigan, people that are thinking that they're going to get a Sweet 16 walkthrough, that Tennessee matchup for them is not good. Though they very well could get out of that and get to the Sweet 16. So it's not impossible. I'm just saying it's not this cakewalk that people want to think it is. But Michigan, look, I did not have Michigan in the field. So them not even being on the first four line is a bit shocking to me. Let's move on to that bubble. The last four teams in were Rutgers and Notre Dame and Indiana and Wyoming. Indiana and Wyoming will play on the 12 line, and Notre Dame and Rutgers are going to play on the 11 line. Here's the issues I have. I think that Indiana, I understand if you put Rutgers ahead of them to an extent, Rutgers beat them at the end of the regular season. I definitely think, though, having Wyoming being the last team in, them being ranked behind Notre Dame, I think is definitely bad. I think you should have Rutgers. I think Rutgers should have got in. I think they probably should have been the last team in. When you think of their wins, I like their wins. Their losses, though, are not good. They have the most pungent, putrid losses on the season. You think of some of their losses. They lost to Northwestern. They lost to Lafayette at home. Like, those games, not good, and those should matter. But I do believe that Rutgers has enough quality wins. Now, listen, I think it would have been nice to see them beat Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, Iowa went on to win the Big Ten, so not easy. But I do think Rutgers definitely deserved to be in. I think Wyoming should not have been the last team in. I think Indiana should have. If you're going to have, I think Indiana is rightfully deserving to be in the first four. I think they should have been higher, though. I do think that, let's see. Obviously, you're not going to put a conference champion on that, so you're not going to have Virginia Tech on the 12 or in the first four, which I'm obviously okay with. Virginia, I think Texas A&M and Dayton should have been in. So if we're replacing teams, I'm probably saying Michigan out, Notre Dame out, and then Texas A&M and Dayton in. So you move. I guess I'd say you move Indiana to the Michigan spot, and then you put Wyoming as the top team, and then Dayton, Texas A&M, and then Rutgers. Those are the matchups. I think those should have been the teams. I don't think, especially when you think of what Texas A&M has done the last few weeks, they beat Bama right before the regular season ended too. You add that to the wins, the Florida game, the Auburn game, and then the win over Arkansas in these games to get to the SEC final. I don't think we should penalize them for struggling on their fourth game in 4 days against one of the toughest teams to match up with in college basketball in Tennessee. I just think that we're unfairly punishing them. I do believe Dayton would have made the field if it wasn't for them losing to Richmond. Obviously, that's pretty much what it seems, especially when you look at the teams, especially when you look at who the committee put as the first four out. It was Dayton. That was the first team that didn't make it. That is a clear as day sign that if Richmond would not have won, even today, Dayton would have made the field. So Dayton still technically was hanging on by a thread today. If Richmond would have, now obviously if Richmond lost and then A&M won, then Dayton would have been out. But that was the killer. And if A&M would have won today, Wyoming would have been the team to not make the field, and I think that would have been wrong. I think Wyoming deserved to be in. I think Rutgers, I understand the argument for not putting them in. I just don't believe that they should have been. I believe I would have put them in. I just don't believe Michigan should have been. Now, we'll see if Michigan can prove me wrong. If they do, they do. Tip of the cap. All right, let's move on now to some games that I believe are... We're going to look at the lower seeds now in each bracket. And the teams that I believe the best of these seeds that can make a run or upset. We're going to just quickly the best 8-9 game out of the four. It is definitely Boise State and Memphis. The way Boise State plays, their attacking offense or their attacking defense, they got some length inside. They have some solid guard play against Memphis. That's going to be an absolute war. I think North Carolina Marquette is kind of meh. Seton Hall TCU has the possibility to be pretty solid. Seton Hall has been kind of everywhere as of late. And San Diego State Creighton as well. I think that can be a very good game. Should be a slugfest between those two teams. 7-10 wise, if there is a 10 seed to clip, I think that Michigan State and Davidson would probably be the one. I would say, I think USC and over Miami, I think that's a pretty clear favorite. And I think Murray State and San Francisco is going to be a war, but I'm a huge on Murray State. I think Loyola Chicago, that game against Ohio State, that is definitely going to be a sexy pick. I think Ohio State right now, they are just so inconsistent. And the way that they do not have the guards to keep up with certain styles, I just feel like that is a matchup tailored for them. But I do think the best favored matchup, I'm actually going to say that Davidson, I think I would pick them more against Michigan State than I would Loyola against Ohio State. At least for Ohio State, you got two guys that are All-American caliber. And E.J. Liddell, who's probably going to be a second-teamer, second team All-American, I would have to say. And then Malachi Branham, who, if he stayed, he's not. He's probably going to the league. But if he stays for another year, he will definitely be a preseason All-American. He will be a Wooden Award watch guy to start next season. He's that good. So I'm going to pick the talent there over Loyola as, like, not the most obvious one. I think the more ripe one is Davidson over Michigan State. I think the way they play, the style they are, Michigan State's a team that doesn't really score much. They don't have bucket getters on that team. I think you can rely on Davidson to be able to do more in those games. 11s over 6s. I think Alabama should be fine regardless if they play Rutgers or Notre Dame. Virginia Tech and Texas is an interesting one just because if Virginia Tech can get hot from three, they don't have to go scorching like they did against Duke, but the best way to beat a good defense is to shoot over it. So that's what I would say about that. I guess if there's going to be one you pick, it's definitely going to be Michigan over Colorado State. Dickinson's playing real well. The problem with them is they're just so freaking inconsistent. They're going to be, like, that's why I just don't think that they can win multiple games in the tournament, because they can play great for one game, but then they look like shit in another. I have no faith in Iowa State beating LSU, even though Will Wade got fired the other day. 12 seeds over 5s. I know people love these matchups here. I will have to say I'm usually the one that definitely somehow always comes around to thinking that every 5 should be favored over is good over a 12. The matchups, I think they're interesting. You know, we could get an Indiana versus a St. Mary's. And is Indiana athletic going to have the athletes to be able to stop Xavier Johnson and Trace Jackson Davis, which, by the way, I am known for ragging Trace Jackson Davis, but man, I got to tip my cap. This weekend, he was sensational. He was sensational. He was great against Michigan. He was great in the second half comeback against Michigan. He was fantastic down the stretch against Illinois. He was amazing, and he was outright elite against Iowa. He was great. He was fantastic in those three games. Like, I got to tip my cap, man. I have to tip my cap. I have been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this guy that everyone has been saying is so good for the last three seasons. And this weekend, man, he was spectacular. No cap over here. No cap at all. He was great. The Michigan second half comeback was great. He was finding ways to do stuff against Illinois. In a game that kind of was in lockstep, not many people could score outside of Race Thompson for about a 4-minute stretch in the second half. But no, he was awesome. So tip of the cap to him for the weekend. But I do think that that's a matchup. Like, if Indiana beats Wyoming and then plays St. Mary's, I think that would be tasty. I think UAB and Houston, I believe Houston's going to have a noted advantage because of their defense, but I think UAB is a team that has some guys that can do some stuff against them, but I think Houston's just too good on defense. Iowa-Richmond's interesting. I think Iowa, I feel like, is due for a letdown. We're going to talk a lot more about them tomorrow, but I just feel like they're due for a letdown. I don't know if it's here, but I love the way Richmond plays, and I don't know if that's going to be the best matchup, though, because I think Iowa's too big with the McMurray twins, and they have some skill on the inside there. And you get another skilled guard like Perkins, things like that, can make things tough. So, but then New Mexico State and UConn, I feel like that's a matchup that is a toss-up-ish. Obviously, I would pick UConn heads up, I think. But New Mexico State's really good. They have some good players at the guard position. They're an interesting team and an interesting matchup. So those are the 5-12s. If I had to say that there's one I would definitely favor, I would say New Mexico State over UConn or Indiana over St. Mary's as your more likely 12-5 candidate spots, especially if Indiana beats Wyoming in the first four. 4-13. I think all of these are very juicy for upsets. Let's start at the top. Arkansas and Vermont. The way Vermont plays, the styles game that they have, and Arkansas is another team that's been very, very inconsistent this season. Vermont's got a very solid defense and a potent offense. They are a team that has dominated their conference for a long time, and they're a very, very efficient offense. So we'll see what they can do against Arkansas, who can guard sometimes, but sometimes is a very leaky faucet. The 4-13, I think UCLA, pretty comfortable over Akron, I would say. And then Illinois and Chattanooga, I do believe this is one of the 2-13s I did not want to see as an Illinois fan. But I would rather see them than Vermont for a multitude of reasons. I feel like I saw a stat today that Chattanooga has been one of the worst two-point defense teams in the country. They're, like, ranked 333rd in two-point field goal percentage over the last month. So I will take that. I feel like that is something that can definitely be a plus for Illinois, but a big issue for them is that Malachi Smith, who's an absolute stud, 20 points, 6.5, or just over 6.5 rebounds a game, for Chattanooga, he's a problem, and he's going to be a guy that is definitely going to try to get his matchups, get his game off against this Illinois team that has struggled to cover pick and rolls. They have struggled to guard guards lately. So I'm worried. I'm worried, man. I really think that that's a game that Illinois could drop, but we'll see. I mean, you have to beat good teams to win it all, and I think Chattanooga is a good team, so. That's a game. That's one of the 4-13s that is going to be a very trendy pick. Another one is going to be Providence and South Dakota State. I love South Dakota State. I also think that Providence has been an absolute luck box this season. You think of their close game statistics, they have been just bonanza in close games this year, and then they got absolutely whitewashed by Creighton the other night in the Big East tournament semis. They just got absolutely floored by those guys by 30 plus. It was nuts. South Dakota State's won 21 straight. They're the highest scoring offense in college basketball at just under 87 points a game. I think that is going to be an absolutely trendy pick, and it absolutely should be. I think South Dakota State is a team that can get to the Sweet 16. I think South Dakota State is a team that is, they're going to match. They can match up with almost any team in this country just because of how potent their offense is. And I feel like that is an absolutely dangerous matchup for Providence. That is the 4-13 that I would book. 2-15-wise, I feel like there's only one pick here. I don't really like Delaware. Not big on Jacksonville State. I think the one matchup here would be Cal State Fullerton versus Duke. I feel like Cal State Fullerton's a team that can really light it up from the outside. They can do some stuff to give Duke some problems, and the question is going to be with this Duke team, are they going to respect the opponent? Are they going to respect the lower seed? This is a team that has struggled and been really inconsistent this season, and how is Duke going to, treat the pressure of these moments? We will see. And then 16 seeds that I like. I'm not obviously wouldn't really pick any of them in these, but I'm really upset that Bryant has to play a first four game. I really like Bryant. I think they're a solid team. I think they do some stuff that's really, really good, and they're fun. And they're really young, too. So I think next year they could be like a 13 or a 12 seed that would be very, very good. And Georgia State's been rolling right now. They are on a 12-1 run in their last 13 games, and they have been dominating. They rolled through their conference tournament. Now, granted, they're going to play the number one seed in Gonzaga, so good luck, Chuck. And I'm not saying I'm picking a 16 to beat a 1. I feel like you have to be on crazy pills to actually do that. But I do believe that there's, you know, some of these 16 seeds are good. I think we've got an absolutely loaded field. I think this is wide open. There are teams that I love more than others, but obviously, and there are teams that I think have a much better chance. You think of an Arizona and Kentucky. Those are the two teams that I've been riding with for a while, and those are two teams I'm still riding with. Honestly, if I had to, I would ride with a team like Kansas. I really think that their experience, they've got guys that have been here before. They're not a team that is, they don't have the inconsistencies that some of these other schools had. If I actually had to pick a third team, I would probably pick them. I'd probably then say Gonzaga. I know they're all in four different regions, so I'm not saying that's my final four by any means, but I would definitely say those are the four teams I would ride with the most. Gonzaga, just because of, you know, their overwhelming talent when you think of Timmy and Holmgren and then Nembhard at guard. I just think they have a lot of answers to a lot of problems. And Holmgren is a guy who can erase a lot of issues inside. Auburn, obviously, with Jabari Smith, he's great. I think if you look at any kind of middle-of-the-road seed teams, I think Tennessee as a 3 is very, very tasty. Alabama as a 6 is interesting. The problem with them is they just don't score they don't shoot as well as last year's team did. But they find ways to win big games. They have won games against loaded teams this year. They beat Gonzaga this season. They have, you know, but also then have lost to teams that make you scratch your head. I think Texas Tech is a team that could do some stuff. That's a team I really like. I love UCLA. Murray State is probably my favorite, like, 5 or lower seed. I really love what they can do. They can fill it up. They can guard. They're super athletic. They're a team that absolutely just checks every single box for me. 30-2 on the season. I hate that they have to go against Kentucky potentially in round 2. Because if Murray State was a 7 seed in almost any of the other brackets outside of, like, Auburn, if they were in Duke's or Villanova's bracket, I'd probably have them in the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite 8. They are really good, and I think that they're a team that can make a run, but them in Kentucky in this round of 32 would be sensational. So yeah, that's kind of my initial bracket breakdown, just an early set of what I think could happen. Just some seeding breakdowns and stuff like that. Tomorrow we're going to do the full 68 team-by-team preview and then give some predictions and give some tasty matchups that we could see in the future and give a Final Four prediction. So that will be the next, I guess you can almost call it a part 2, but not really. If you know me, it's kind of like what I did last year on Facebook Live. I did the full, pretty much 68 team deep dive before the season or before the tournament. And if you are into betting, I listened to that. I called a couple good upsets last year. I rode with Oral Roberts and Ohio, and I rode with Oral Roberts all the way to the Sweet 16, and they got it done. I rode with Ohio. I thought they would make the Sweet 16 too, but they got clipped by Creighton. But I knew they'd beat Virginia, and I got that one to ride. So I picked a couple lower-seeded teams that I was really, really high on. There's a couple that are this year I'm really high on as well. So I'm not patting myself on the back, but I like to think that, hey, you know, I pay attention enough to this sport. It's nice to feel you almost feel rewarded when you get things right in the tournament. That's for sure. So thank you all for listening. You guys know what to do. You guys know what to follow. Stay attached to the feed here for all of the great stuff we're going to have here over the next coming weeks. Embrace the madness, folks. This is March, And as my big boy Big Roth says, we sleep in May. And remember that if you ain't got game, you best pass the sticks, folks. We're out.